It's Marketplace Tech for Monday, April 20th. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. Whether it's the Target breach that compromised 40 million credit cards or the release of Sony's less-than-collegial emails, hacks have been hitting companies hard. The RSA Security Conference will bring together cybersecurity experts in San Francisco this week. Chester Wisniewski, a senior security advisor at Sophos, will be there. He predicts a shift in priorities this year.
No amount of security is ever going to create a perfect scenario where a password can't be stolen or a bank account will never be breached. And so if we make a mistake when we know that it's likely to happen once in a while, how quickly can we figure out we made a mistake and recover from that? I expect that'll be a major conversation this year.
We'll have more from the conference in the week ahead. Outlets for news and gossip about celebrities have evolved over the past 15 years, from magazines like Us Weekly and People to a bunch of websites, things like TMZ and Perez Hilton. But the experience of reading or looking at them is pretty much the same. It's passive. Pictures, snarky comments about outfits and hairstyles. But what if you could see how celebrities interact with each other, how they talk, fight, and like each other's stuff on social media? Well, there's an Instagram account called The Shade Room that may be right for you. Jenna Wortham, a staff writer at The New York Times, recently profiled the secretive account. Hey, Jenna, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Noelle.
Okay, so what are we going to see in the Shade Room?
Well, you're going to see a lot of things that are very specific to social media. So the Shade Room, unlike, I guess, its contemporaries or predecessors, really traffics in the kind of gossip that our social media presence and our social media accounts tend to give off. So you'll see comments about who's following whom, like who's been liking other photos, what people have been saying to each other in the comments section. It's very much kind of an intra-Instagram kind of network.
And this sets it apart, right? Because I was looking in the Shade Room, I guess, this morning, and there was like a picture of Rihanna coming out of a restaurant. There was kind of a grainy picture of Will Smith with his head shaved. But the point isn't so much that it's just pictures. It's that if Kanye West likes Rihanna's photo, then I know that something's up, right?
Exactly. And I think that's sort of where the Shade Room sets itself apart, is that it does sort of do what the traditional outlets do in some ways. I mean, it kind of posts a photo and a snappy caption, but it really tends to focus on, you know, when Rihanna and Nicki Minaj are having a back and forth on Instagram. It captures that and posts it and aggregates that all in one space.
So one detail from your piece that I really loved is that the Shade Room, the account, is run by a 24-year-old woman who is so secretive that she would only give you her first name, Angie.
Right.
Why?
You know, I think Angie was really smart in that she knows that the appeal of Shade Room is that it kind of has this sort of Oz-like omnipotence, and to sort of show the wizard behind the curtain would remove some of the mystique and the mystery. And it also has a feeling of a community, and I think that it being a little bit more vague and a little bit more mysterious allows the readers and the commenters, which she calls her roommates, to participate in the fun a little bit more. And I think that she's smart to realize that, you know, that it doesn't feel like a traditional news site.
And does she make money? Does she have employees?
She has a couple employees, and she does make money. I mean, it's the concept of the Shade Room started on Instagram, and then it branched out, and there's a regular blog, there's a Twitter account, there's a Facebook account, and she sells advertising across all of them, and her audience is very engaged. I mean, people stay on the site, and they, you know, on the Facebook account, they're interacting, they're liking, they're sharing, they're commenting. They're doing that on Instagram, too, so I think that makes it very valuable to her advertisers who want to reach a very, very attuned audience.
Do you think the Shade Room has ambitions to break news, or is it solely to reflect what's going on in the world of pop culture?
I would imagine that, you know, Angie's an entrepreneur. She's a really, really smart and savvy businesswoman. I think down the line, absolutely, it could be a place where people break news or want to make announcements or, you know, talk about an album release or a new concert tour. I don't think that's out of her reach at all.
It's a year old and she is only 24 years old, so I guess there is no telling what she'll do next. Jenna Wortham is a staff writer for the New York Times Magazine. Jenna, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We know that Amazon has been pushing to introduce delivery drones into the skies, but the Federal Aviation Administration has recently given the okay to several insurance companies to use drones to assess property damage after natural disasters. WABE's Candace Wheeler has more.
Our blue skies could eventually be dotted with hundreds of little drones. Sounds like science fiction? It's not. Matt Sloan is the president of Atlanta Drone Consultants.
In light of the proposed new regulations from the FAA, there are going to be a lot more commercial agencies using drones for all kinds of things, from insurance assessments to fire rescue.
Sloan says during natural disasters, helicopters are used to assess damage. But he says those flights cost $1,000 an hour and put people's lives in jeopardy. That's why insurance companies are so interested in drones. Justin Tomczak is the Georgia spokesperson for State Farm.
If we can send a drone to look over at our customer's house and determine, okay, they have significant damage there, that information could be relayed to their agent. We can call them and say, I noticed your house has significant damage. We're cutting you a check right now to cover your immediate expenses that you may have.
State Farm was the first to get FAA approval. Now other insurers like USAA and AIG are joining in. Both say they'll experiment with drones to assess damage. And if you're worried about all those little devices recording you, Matt Sloan says you just might have to get used to it.
Although I will say most don't have cameras with the ability to zoom. So it's not going to be a, you know, sort of satellite situation where, you know, from 1,000 feet you can zoom in and see every little detail.
To address any concerns, the FAA has a public comment period open until April 24th. In Atlanta, I'm Candace Wheeler for Marketplace.
To keep in touch with us throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at Marketplace Tech. I'm Noelle King, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.